Today on Real Life Radio.
The moment you put your faith in Christ, according to the Bible, you and I die. Did you know that? The Bible says you are reckoned by God to be dead. Your old life ended on the day that you accepted Christ.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know there's an easy way to stay informed on the latest biblical events shaping our world today? Check out the Happening Now section at jackhibbs.com. Now, these live events feature Pastor Jack Hibbs alongside special guests diving into current events, cultural shifts, and how they align with biblical prophecy. It's a unique blend of Bible teaching and real-time analysis that helps you make sense of today's headlines through the lens of Scripture. Happening Now, it's not just about information. It's about equipping you with the truth and encouraging you to stand firm in your faith, no matter what's happening around you. Now, these discussions are eye-opening, they're thought-provoking, and they're a great way to stay spiritually grounded in a rapidly changing world. Whether you watch live or catch up on past events, Happening Now will help keep you connected to God's Word and what's going on in the world today. Visit jackhibbs.com and click on Happening Now. Don't just watch the news. Understand it from a biblical perspective. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues in a series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, and a message titled, Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 4. The Apostle Peter was, of course, a disciple of Jesus Christ who later became the leader of the first church. Peter's approach to Christianity was to love the way that Jesus loves, in both acts of kindness and in service toward others. You see, Jesus, in his very essence, is love. But just like in the days of Noah, sin is running rampant, and chaos and confusion is everywhere. But when we put our faith in Christ, his truth and his unconditional love will sustain us even in the darkest of times. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that the moment we put our faith in Christ, something amazing happens. Our old life ends and our new life in Christ begins. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we can now willfully respond to His truths and we can begin our journey of fellowship with Him. Now, with his message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So first of all, Bible students, the word antitype is an interesting word. The word means, first of all, anti or anti is in place of or against. It can be interpreted two ways. Typos, this word is type, typology, symbol, illustration. So antitupos is this word in the Greek that means Peter is saying, I'm going to teach you guys this symbol type picture. And he gets very elaborate and we need to track it, especially those of you who think that you can get to heaven because you were baptized in water. This has nothing to do with that the way that you think it does. You say, well, Pastor, I was baptized as an infant. I'm in. No, you're not. Where's that in the Bible? Where's infant baptism in the Bible? You're not going to find it. You want to know why? Because the Bible says regarding baptism, you and I have to first believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But even before that, what does the Bible say? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So watch how this works. How can a baby repent of their sins and accept the Lord Jesus Christ when they're 6 months old? That doctrine was invented by man. You'll never find it in the Bible. You've got to willfully repent of your wrongdoing. Simply this, metanoia. God, I see now that how I've lived my life is a sin against you, and it put Jesus on the cross. Oh God, I'm sorry, and I ask you to forgive me. I trust Christ to be my Lord and Savior. In that moment, the Bible says you become, John chapter 3, born again, born of the Spirit, born anew. And we'll see in a moment that what happens is that that event leads to a public display. And that's vitally important to understand. All of this part of you and I having a good conscience toward God. But this antitype is this. It is a representative. It is a counterpart. It is a type or figure. Hosea chapter 12, by the way, in verse 10, you can write it down. It's not on the screen. Hosea 12:10 says that God has spoken to us by types and symbols and illustrations that we might understand more clearly what the prophets were saying. And then I want you to mark the word baptism. The word baptism means this, to sink down under. Listen, to go beneath. It's absolutely a word that means to be immersed. This is vital. You say, well, I was sprinkled. We're not talking about sprinkling. The word actually means, and I hope this, listen, track me, track this, and it'll make more sense to you. The word means to go under completely as though you died and you were buried. And when you come back up, we'll see this more in a moment, that you are now alive. Okay? Important to remember that. The word means to be immersed or to be brought under or taken down under the surface. So having put that before you, watch how this comes together. Look back at verse 20. Just skip up a little bit, verse 20. It says, who formerly were disobedient, talking about those who died at the flood. When once the divine long-suffering awaited in the days of Noah, while the ark being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. Listen, was Noah and his family saved by the water? I'll put it to you this way. Did Noah and his family go under and get wet? No. They got in the ark and they rose above it and they went through. Are you with me? They never got wet. So now we know already Peter is teaching us something that is very deep and very insightful. Whatever Peter is talking about, he's using an antitype and he's using the fact that the ancient world of unbelief was swept away by a great flood. Only eight souls survived. Church, how did they survive the flood? The ark. It was the ark. They got in the boat. God shut the door. The rains and floods came, and away they went. And when the flood was over, they got out of the boat, and a new life they lived. Are you with me? Peter, if he was here right now, he would say, right on. In Hebrew, he would say, right on. You need to remember, you need to approach that this way. That's why Peter's bringing it up. So, so important. And so when it says saved through water, keep this in mind. John chapter 5, verse 24. John 5, 24. Most assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has to get baptized before he has everlasting life? No. Past tense, has it. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that God the Father sent him, he rose again from the dead, Jesus said right here, you have everlasting life. And you shall not come into judgment. That's death, that's the grave. But listen, has passed from death, ooh, sounds like saved through, in this illustration, water. But Jesus says you've passed from death to what? Life. Something happens. The moment you put your faith in Christ, according to the Bible, you and I die. Did you know that? The Bible says you are reckoned by God to be dead. Your old life ended on the day that you accepted Christ. According to God, right now, on his spreadsheet of the data of your life, everything that you had done wrong was highlighted and deleted, and Jesus Christ, his salvation was appropriated to you. That's how God looks at you. That's how God sees you. We need to remember that because it's all important. Because look at the word answer. See the word answer here in the scripture? That word answer has a huge meaning. It means to answer the appeal. It means to respond to the offer. It means to agree with the contract. It's a legal term. It means that when somebody puts forth the deal, you think about it and you make a willful, listen, you can't do this as an infant, willful, logical, reasonable decision that you're going to accept Christ. In this case, he's saying now that you've responded to this word answer that we find in our Bible. It's the exact same thought process of a vow. Of a vow. So watch. It would mean to agree to the terms. Peter is saying, you who are saved, you have agreed to the terms. And the terms, listen, the terms is not salvation through water. The terms is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again from the grave. That's the term. So, for example, if you're a Christian, raise your right hand. Let's all raise your right hand. This is exactly what, this is what it means, that word answer. Repeat after me. Dear Lord, I accept your terms of salvation. I believe what you have said. That if I trust Christ for my sins and for my eternal life as Lord and Savior, I'm saved. I'm yours. So, Lord, I agree with those terms. You would put your hand down and we would take you and put you all the way under in water and bring you up in front of a big crowd. And it would be a great, exciting day. Why? Because you got wet? No, because you gave your life to Christ. And you say, yeah, but what about the baptism part? What about the baptism part? We're getting to that. We're getting to that watery part. But the water baptism is something that should equate to us in our conscience, as we'll see, regarding our guilt. We need to be very, very sensitive about that, very, very in tune with that truth. And by the way, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized because it is the first mandated act of obedience for the Christian. It doesn't save you, but it's only for saved people. And I'll explain more about this. I kind of wish we had a huge, wouldn't it be great if we had a huge baptism today and just did it? You know, after service, you just go realize, man, I'm a Christian, but I've never baptized. It'd be awesome. I mean, we could do it. We got fountains out front. We got a big fountain in the courtyard. We got some fountains. Cancel third service. Just start dipping people. But we would only dip people. You know, we'd say, did you give your heart to Christ? Yeah. Do you trust Jesus for your salvation? Yeah. How so? And they would give their testimony. Right on, dude. That's it. Excellent. Let's go. Ready? Take a deep breath. I baptize you now in the name of the Father. Here's how we do it here to cover all the bases. We baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boom. And we hold them down. And I like to hold, you know, the guys that are all tatted up and mean looking? I do. If that's you, remember what I did with you. I hold you, and I tell you, listen, I'm going to hold you down extra long for effect. And I do. I tell them, if you're that guy, I told you. We're going to go, and I hold it down, and people start going, oop, 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 oop. Bring them up. Just making sure it's good. And if he dies down there, then we know where he went.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. To learn more about this ministry or to catch up on some previous episodes, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get back to today's message. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 14, for when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law unto themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts, your thoughts, our thoughts, church, they accuse us, or our thoughts excuse us, don't they? That's where God lives. Not in some church, not in some shrine, not in some icon or statue, in you. If you're a believer, Christ lives in you. And your walk is such to where God is constantly with you in your mind. And none of us are sinless. But the beautiful thing about the real believer and the real Christian life is the fact that as we walk with God, we're walking in this perpetual state of fellowship and communion with him. It's a tremendous truth. It's a great joy. And then the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, as we said and previously, you might want to mark this down. I love this. Follow along because I think it tracks perfectly. Colossians 2, 11. Listen. The Bible says, in him you were also, what's the word? Stop right there. If you're a Christian, this verse applies to you. And you look at that verse and you say, what? First of all, a doctor circumcised me. Maybe a doctor, I hope a doctor circumcised you. I hope nobody was practicing on you. But then some people are not circumcised. And you say, well, then what does this verse mean? It answers to what we're talking about in Peter. It's not the water. The water's not going to save you. Look, leave the verse on the screen. If in this Western world we talk to people, hey, hi, I'd like to tell you about Jesus. Oh, you don't have to tell me about Jesus. I was baptized. Ooh, what do you mean by that? I went under and I came back up. I'm good. Oh, no, 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 no. If you're Jewish, what does a Jew say to you? A Jew tells you, don't talk to me. I'm circumcised. I'm good with God. Do you see? The moment you put something you did or you allowed as your focal point of salvation to God, hey, God, look at me. We're good, right? God says, no, look at me. Not good. You see this, people? These are external, outward things that speak of an internal conversion. It's a public display that you already have accepted Christ and that you're a Christian. And so the verse says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That is human hands. Now we're getting down to the reality of it all. It's beautiful. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, he did it. He did it to you. He took your heart the moment you were convicted of your sins and you saw your need for God. Look, he cut, by his word, he cut the dead skin, worthless skin, out of your heart to make your heart tender and very, very supple or sensitive to him. Are you with me? Verse 12, buried with him in baptism. When were you buried in baptism with him? That was 2,000 years ago. How does this work? Are you kidding me? Not at all. Listen, the moment you were baptized, you went into water, but it was a spiritual event. Listen, buried with him in baptism. The day that you went under, Jesus, so to speak, paraphrasing, would say to you, above water, your association with me, if you're my child, if you're going to follow me, then it's all about new life. So now that you're a Christian, let's publicly display that. So let's go under. And you go under with Jesus. He's down there under the water with you. And he's saying, okay, now when you come up, this is a beautiful picture of your dead life, dying dead and gone now here under the water. And when you come back up, it's a public display of your new life in me, just as I rose from the dead and had new life. This is exactly what this means. And so watch. So buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Baptism. It's beautiful. Wonderful. It's a public display. Bearing witness to all that you've made a private personal commitment internally to Christ. It's a tremendous, great thing. Romans chapter 6, Paul speaks about this powerfully in verse 1, Romans 6, 1. You guys okay? We all right? It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as us of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, but just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Perfectly clear. Dear friends, don't put baptism as your salvation key. It's a witness. It's a testimony that you are saved. It doesn't save you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 4. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Two things that you've made a major difference in my life. Can I throw this out in front of the audience right now? Two things in particular. The kind of coffee that you like.
Yes.
I drink it every day.
Yes.
I won't mention the name, but I drink it every day. Still, yeah. I think it was 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Also, around that same time, you turned me on to Charles Spurgeon.
Absolutely.
You were the first guy that said the word Charles Spurgeon to
me. Let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
Do you remember doing for, I believe it was for TBN, you did a Charles Spurgeon video series.
I did.
You were Charles Spurgeon.
That's exactly it.
In your voice, you were acting out sermons and devotions by Charles Spurgeon.
We shot that.
You did that back in like 1893
1894.
Or
94, 18, yeah,
19,
when I was a younger man.
Well, listen, I mean, Charles Spurgeon's worthy of anyone mimicking his sermons or his devotions. And so the resource for September, this wonderful book, Words of Warning, that's the title of the book. But yeah. Davey, I love the subtitle, For Those Wavering Between Belief and Unbelief. Listen, all people waver at times between belief and unbelief. It depends on what's going on in your life. I actually think everybody needs to get this book, because who does not struggle at times where, is God going to show up? Am I going to get that new job? Is he going to heal my son? You know, when I die, am I really going to go to heaven? This is a great book by Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest communicators ever in human history, truly.
Now, Spurgeon was a guy who didn't hold back.
No.
Right. So how do you think this book lines up with, you know, what you're always encouraging us to do today? Live bold. Live a bold and honest faith.
Well, he lived it.
He did.
He preached. He crafted his sermons. Again, all of them biblically based. He crafted them. And then he went and delivered them. And then after he said amen, Spurgeon was famous for going out and living them.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize that you're talking about an era, say 1863, where when he issued a sermon in London, his sermons were reproduced and sent out in newspaper form all around the world.
Yep.
All around the world. He was probably the most read minister of his time. And the power behind Charles Spurgeon was his command of English. Now, many of us don't have that command.
Oh, fantastic.
His understanding of the truth, well, we thank God understand the truth, but he lived it out. And we can say, we can too.
My favorite quote from Charles Spurgeon, as a not very small man myself, he said, the barrel-chested man is probably called to be a preacher.
You are talking about the book, Lectures to My Students by Charles Spurgeon. And that's exactly right. Think about it. In those days, he doubted a man's calling to the pulpit if he didn't have a barrel chest.
If you weren't large-chested, no microphones.
Because he was speaking to over 10,000 people in the audience with no microphone.
No microphone. Isn't that something?
And so his understanding back then was, you got to be able to bellow, he said. You got to bellow.
You got to be a big feller.
And God is not going to call a little feller. To preach, he's got to call a big fella.
So for people who don't know much about Charles Spurgeon, why is he such a big deal to today's church?
Well, first of all, Spurgeon was a self-taught, basically genius of a young man. I think he was saved at the age of 16.
Yeah.
Having said that, at the age of 5 and 6 years of age, he read the famous book, for example, Pilgrim's Progress.
Right.
He read it nearly 100 times. That's not normal, folks, but listen, here's the deal. His ability to paint pictures with words is what I would say was the original Technicolor. He's able to communicate in ways, and he, by the way, he was a profound student of nature. So in his sermons, he would often talk about how this particular time of harvest or this time of seeding or this time of spring or winter, he will communicate in ways that your mind will just drive that devotion into your soul in the colors of the rainbow and beyond. Mm. I mean, it is high definition, articulation, and logic that truly glorifies God. I mean, he just raises the bar in your life to come up into the clouds where Spurgeon, I think, spent so much time with God.
Get Words of Warning by Charles Spurgeon for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.